Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, July the 2nd, Pope Francis apologizes to the people of the Democratic Republic of Congo and South Sudan for having had to postpone his apostolic visit. UN aid workers register the first deaths from starvation in South Sudan after humanitarian agencies suspend food distribution programs. And in the wake of the overturning of the Roe v. Wade ruling in the US, European bishops reaffirm the concerns of the Catholic Church for how abortion is treated at the EU level. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Pope Francis today sent a video message to the people of the Democratic Republic of Congo and South Sudan on the same day his postponed visit to the African nations would have begun. The Pope apologized profusely for not being able to visit at the moment and encouraged Congolese and South Sudanese in their hope in God. Devon Watkins reports.
On the same day he was scheduled to begin his apostolic journey, Pope Francis sent greetings to the people of South Sudan and the Democratic Republic of Congo. The Pope's apostolic journey was postponed due to severe knee pain, and he has sent Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin in his stead until he can make the journey himself. In a video message sent on Saturday, the Pope expressed his deep sorrow for having had to put off the visit.
Signore sa quanto è grande il mio rammarico.
The Lord knows the extent of my regret at being forced to postpone this much-desired and long-awaited visit, he said. Let us not lose faith, but rather cherish the hope of meeting as soon as possible. Pope Francis turned his thoughts first to the Democratic Republic of Congo. He lamented the exploitation, violence, and insecurity you suffer, particularly in the east of the country. Turning to South Sudan, the Pope took note of the cry for peace of the many people who are tired of violence and poverty and await concrete results from the process of national reconciliation. The Pope then offered the people of the two African nations a word of encouragement.
Le parole in questo momento non bastano a trasmettervi la vicinanza che vorrei esprimervi e l'affetto.
Words at this time are not enough to convey the closeness I would like to express to you and the affection I feel for you, he said. I would like to say to you, do not let hope be stolen from you. God, he added, never disappoints those who put their trust in him. Pope Francis also said the two nations must turn the page to open up new paths of reconciliation, forgiveness, serene coexistence, and development.
È una missione da assumere guardando insieme al futuro.
This, he noted, is a mission to take on with an eye to the future and to the many young people who fill your lush and wounded lands, filling them with light and possibilities. Finally, Pope Francis reminded the people of South Sudan and the DRC that the tears they lift to heaven are not in vain, since God has plans of peace for them. I'm Devon Watkins.
Pope Francis would have been accompanied in his apostolic journey to South Sudan by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, and by the moderator of the Church of Scotland, Reverend Ian Greenshields, on what has been described as an ecumenical pilgrimage of peace. As we just heard, Pope Francis sent a message of apologies to those awaiting him, just as Welby and Greenshields did to the people of South Sudan. Dr. Greenshields said he looks forward to the time when the three Christian leaders will be able to make their pilgrimage together. And in his video message, Archbishop Welby recalls the many trials South Sudanese continue to face.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, I am so deeply sorry that it has not been possible to make our planned pilgrimage of peace to South Sudan next week. Join me in prayer for my dear brother, Pope Francis. I pray for his recovery and that we will all be able to visit South Sudan with the moderator of the Church of Scotland very soon. I was last in South Sudan in 2014. Your country and your people have been in my heart and my daily prayers ever since. You are people I love. You're full of great vibrancy, courage, resilience. You are children of God, seen by God, chosen by God, called by God. Yet I see and know that you have suffered greatly and continue to suffer. I see the floods that endanger your homes. I see the famine that makes each day a struggle. And I see the violence that overshadows all of life. Many of you cannot return to your homes. God sees and knows that. God's heart of compassion is moved by your struggles. Pope Francis, Moderator Ian and I want to stand in solidarity with you in your hope for peace. This was promised during the spiritual retreat at the Vatican in 2019. We promised to visit, and your leaders promised to work together for the good of all South Sudanese.
And that was the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, there. Meanwhile, on the ground in South Sudan, two children and an adult have died of starvation as the suspension of food aid begins to hit. The deaths occurred in a displacement camp in the northern Warup state and come after the UN World Food Programme said it had suspended rationing programs in parts of the country due to a lack of funding. In June, the agency said it needed $426 million to continue distributing food. But that aid has not been forthcoming as the international community has focused on other overlapping crises, including the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Among the NGOs providing life-saving support to the people of South Sudan are the Doctors with Africa Kuam. Many of their hospitals and healthcare clinics are in remote, rural areas where people have no state infrastructure to turn to in case of need. The Alwakwalak Hospital in Yirol in South Sudan Lake State provides care to over 25,000 people every year. The coordinator of the hospital, Dr. Paul Lubega, told Vatican Radio's Francesca Sabatinelli what are the major challenges he faces.
The biggest challenges are health workers or human resource limitation in terms of numbers and also capacity. Generally, South Sudan churns out few health workers, and those that qualify, many of them will come when they are not fully skilled. So when they have to join in, it can be a challenge when you have to handle critical ailments or critical morbidities. Of course, the volume of patients that have to come in a really short time is also, of course, we can't call it a challenge because in any case patients have to come to the hospital, but the number of health workers matters a lot, is critical in this case.
What about the disease? Which are the worst?
The commonest cases in generally in the hospital and also the outpatient department are diarrhea, malaria and respiratory tract infections. We are in a malaria endemic area, and usually this season is associated with malaria because, okay, grass is growing, it's raining, so there are lots of pools of water, so mosquitoes are breeding, people are going out to the fields to start planting and cultivating, so all these are contributing factors. Of course, in this period, the respiratory tract infections reduce a bit because even the dust is less, so we see the respiratory tract infections more in the dry season. As you know, South Sudan has a long wet season or rain season and a long dry season. Of course, of big importance as well is the burden of HIV. We are in a remote setting. People are aware, but the information is half-half, it's 50-50. And of course, the need to go test regularly whether somebody looks healthy or not doesn't happen, like voluntary testing. So there are many people that come in with advanced disease, and it becomes a big challenge as well in management.
And that was Dr. Paul Lubega, coordinator of Kuam's Yirol Hospital in South Sudan. Ukraine's president has condemned Russian missile attacks near the port of Odessa that authorities said killed at least 21 people. Stefan Boss reports that the attack came amid concerns for the effects of the Russian blockade of the Black Sea and the distribution of grain to countries risking famine.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Russia's military has flattened part of an apartment building in the Sergivka settlement near the port of Odessa while residents slept. Zelensky said Friday's attacks were a conscious, deliberately targeted Russian terror attack. The latest attacks around Odessa happened after Russia retreated from Snake Island in the Western Black Sea. Moscow claimed it was a goodwill gesture, allowing Ukraine to export agricultural products. But Ukrainian and British defense officials say Russia withdrew from Snake Island due to the isolation of the garrison and the barrage of Ukrainian strikes. However, fighting continues in eastern Ukraine, where Moscow intends to capture the entire Donbas area, Ukraine's industrial heartland. The war has had global implications amid mounting food shortages. Moscow said a merchant ship with 7,000 tons of grain left the Russian-occupied Ukrainian city of Berdyansk with deliveries for what it called friendly nations. Kiev and others accused Moscow of using food as a weapon in war. As concerns about hunger mount, Indonesia's president ended a trip to Ukraine and Russia, saying he hoped for progress in reintegrating global food and fertilizer supply lines disrupted by the conflict. President Joko Widodo, the group of 20 presidents this year, also offered to be a diplomatic bridge between the two nations. He said he had conveyed a message from Ukrainian President Zelensky to Russian leader Vladimir Putin, but gave no details. Yet, with battles raging, there are no signs the more than 4 months' war will end soon. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
And finally, following the U.S. Supreme Court's vote that overturned the 1973 Roe v. Wade ruling, the president of the Commission of the Bishops' Conferences of the EU, Cardinal Jean-Claude Hollerich, has reaffirmed the concerns of the Catholic Church for the way the issue of abortion is treated at the EU level. Lisa Zingarini reports.
As the European Parliament prepares to discuss a second resolution reaffirming its support to the US Roe v. Wade ruling, which was recently overturned, European bishops insist that abortion cannot be considered a fundamental human right. During a meeting with the President of the European Parliament, Roberta Metsola, earlier this week, the President of the Commission of the Bishops' Conference of the European Union, Cardinal Jean-Claude Hollerich, reiterated that the attempt to see abortion as a fundamental right not only goes against the respect of the dignity of every human being, which is one of the pillars of the European Union, but it will also gravely endanger the right to freedom of religion, of thought and of conscience, and the possibility of exercising conscientious objection. The Bishops' Commission already expressed its concern on June the 8th, ahead of the discussion in the European Parliament of a resolution calling for the Roe v. Wade to be upheld. The resolution was approved on the next day. In a strong-worded statement, the General Secretary of the Commission, Father Manuel Barrios, said the discussion was an unacceptable interference in the democratic decisions of a sovereign state that is also not a member of the European Union. He further noted that from a legal perspective, there is no recognized right to abortion in European or international law, and therefore no state can be obliged to legalize abortion or facilitate it. The European bishops, on the other hand, highlighted the need to support women who are in a difficult situation because of their pregnancy. Women in distress should not be left alone, nor can the right to life of the unborn child be ignored. They both must receive all necessary help and assistance, the statement said. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us tomorrow at the same time for more. My thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.